We're here at the Conference Centre in Perth, and this is the second day of the Congress. Ash Nabazu and myself have been representing Australasian Psychiatry and doing a round of interviews with Congress attendees. We heard a lot of different topics from a lot of different people, but everybody seemed to be very happy, particularly with the New Horizons theme of the Congress, and they certainly seem to be smiling. So we hope you enjoy these interviews, and we intend to expand on this in coming years.
Hi, I'm Ashna, and we've got Andrew here from Australasian Psychiatry and the Thought Broadcast podcast, and we're interviewing Dr. Ahmed today. So would you like to tell us a bit about yourself?
Sure, I'm a psychiatrist working in Sydney, New South Wales. I came to psychiatry quite late in my career. I had a previous career in journalism and media and public health and general practice. So more recent career as a psychiatrist, the last 10 years. My particular interest is trauma. I'm a trauma psychiatrist, is how I identify, but mostly working in emergency department situations. So yes, one of the reasons I'm here is that the Emergency Psychiatry Network have a couple of presentations that I'm about to be participant in a hypothetical. This is a good warm-up, which I'm very anxious about because I have no idea what's coming. It's going to be, I think, quite challenging about managing a difficult scenarios in the emergency department. So,
I mean, what an amazing story. That's so interesting. Could you tell us a bit about your presentation and what you'll be talking about?
Well, it's actually a hypothetical. So Dr. Chris Ryan, who needs no introduction, will be managing the proceedings, which is in itself quite scary. And they've called it a series of unfortunate events. So I'm on a panel with an emergency physician, an ethicist, I think the chief psychiatrist here, a couple of other people, and we'll be throwing these difficult scenarios. There's no preparation, no presentation. It's purely responding to the scenarios as we go. And I think, I'm not sure if they want us to be scratching each other's eyes out or reaching agreement, but I'm sure it'll be quite tense.
That's amazing. I've never heard of that format at a conference before.
Yeah.
And have you been to a few congresses in your time?
Yeah, I have. Probably not for a while. I recall going to Hobart, would have been about 6 or 7 years ago, and Darwin around that time too, maybe 3 or 4 previously.
Well, it seems like we've struck gold with our first interviewee. Chris Ryan's a teddy bear. I think you'll have a great time with the panel. and it's, I really don't think it's going to be an antagonistic process. They really want to draw out as much information as you can get.
Yeah.
I was really interested to hear you say that you had been a journalist before. It seems like there'd be a lot of transition between that. Have you noticed that you've been able to draw on those skills in this profession?
Look, it's interesting. I might be using the term journalist a bit loosely. I did TV work for the ABC with Norman Swan quite a long time ago. And I've done a lot of writing, so it's part of a health communications business and taught writing and communication skills. I think that's one of the reasons they thought maybe I could handle this scenario, but actually most of the work I've been involved in is very practiced, very researched, I'm always very well prepared, and so I always feel like I can manage those situations well when I'm prepared. There's no preparation for this situation, so. But one of the things we talk about in emergency psychiatry is actually convincing everyone you're calm even when you're not, and I guess it's a little bit of what will be required that I might be screaming on the inside, but I'll need to give the appearance of having all the answers and be able to make decisions.
I'm Andrew Amos. I'm Deputy Editor of Australasian Psychiatry, and we're accosting people as they come out of the plenary here at the Congress in Perth, just trying to find out why people are here, what they're particularly interested in, and maybe get some thoughts about the talk that you've just seen. So can you just introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name's Tony Corner. I work in Sydney. I'm involved in a psychotherapy program there. The background in the conversational model.
Oh, fantastic. And what have you just been to see?
Well, I saw the two plenary, one from Professor Gal Bally and the second one from Mark Lawrence. Both very good talks.
Mark, I think, is... I work on a board committee with Mark Lawrence, Membership Engagement Committee, and he's been very vocal in promoting some Indigenous and Maori rights within the college. Was that part of the talk today, or was it some other topic?
No, it was part of the talk, and personally I'm interested in this area. I think it's very important in Australia as well as New Zealand. In some way, New Zealand lead us, I think, in terms of developing systems with respect for two cultures. Of course, in Australia, in some ways, it's a more complex issue with many Indigenous nations that... we're gradually learning to understand, I think, a little better, but we have a long way to go.
You said that you work in conversational models of psychotherapy, and I imagine that working with Indigenous and Maori populations might complicate that a little bit. Is it something that, you've had to deal with in your professional career?
Look, I actually think the conversational model is quite a simple name. It's about having conversations, creative conversations between people. I actually think that kind of idea, I mean, Indigenous Australians might refer to yarning, for instance,
right,
is very consistent with Indigenous cultures. Indeed, I think it's more Western systems of understanding, which tend to be reductive, to get away from ideas of spirit and connection.
Wow.
So actually, I think conversational model, although it may need to be adapted, but people have adapted it to working on land, for instance.
Yes.
So I think it's actually quite resonant with a lot of the understanding of the dreaming. The dreaming, after all, is timeless, like the unconscious, one might say.
All right. Well, look, thank you very much for talking with us. Is there anything else that you'd like to highlight for us that you think might be standout points in the conference?
I'll be speaking on Thursday, so...
What's the topic on Thursday?
Well, some of you may be aware that there's been some controversy around the 2020 clinical mood disorder guidelines. Our group, which represents psychodynamic practitioners, will be questioning some of those findings in this forum. So that's the essence of it. And we feel it's important that the psychodynamic voice continues to be heard within the larger forums of psychiatry. Well, look, just my own talk in this will relate to psychiatric identity and our identity as people that connect and understand at a deeper level with people. I think without that, without the capacity for an adequate psychodynamic formulation, general psychiatry will suffer, in my opinion. So that's a central message of my talk.
Andrew and Ashna again with the Thought Broadcast podcast from Australasian Psychiatry. Andrew and Nicole, if you could introduce yourselves.
Hey, I'm Andrew Daltrey, originally from the UK, been living in Cairns for 7 years, and I've just finished my fellowship training and older age AT.
Morning, I'm Nicole Dragoning. I'm a stage 3 trainee at Cairns doing child adolescent NCL.
So both of you would have gone through the Scholarly Project or perhaps might be going through the Scholarly Project. Could you tell us a bit about what your research was on?
Yeah, sure. So I started out as wanting to do a validation study of the 4AT delirium screening in Far North Queensland. That turned out to be bigger than Ben-Hur, so I scaled it back a bit and did a systematic review of delirium screening tools in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander and Indigenous minorities and culturally diverse peoples of the world, and found out that there aren't any. So I'm going to still move on and hopefully do that validation of the 4AT later on.
Really important area. And Nicole?
I've actually waylaid my plans because I hadn't decided on advanced training yet. So there's nothing in the works, but it's going to be CL-esque is all that I can say about mine. Yeah.
Great. And Congress, an exciting time of year. Is this your first Congress? Have you been to many before?
I was the trainee rep for the Cairns Congress a few years ago. I arranged the social in the evening, and I was also with the PIF mentoring. So I've been to one real life one, one virtual one, and now this one.
This is my third edition, which is exciting. First at Cairns, and I've ultimately ended up working there. So I think going to Congresses does help to kind of learn about different areas.
And what brings you back?
I like hearing topics I don't normally get to touch on, especially like the leadership and management stuff, the different ethnicities that come to these sort of talks and talk about how to do psychiatry in different ways that I'm not familiar with is really important.
Likewise, it's the fruit salad of different presenters and topics and opportunities to sit in on random talks you wouldn't normally hear about.
Yeah. Look, you've just gone to the plenary sessions this morning. Do you have any feedback about those? Any particular points of importance, things that struck you?
Yeah, I thought it was really important, and I hope the word brave is the right word to use, to get up on stage and talk openly about racism in medicine. And I think the sort of the hidden curriculum is a real problem, still being taught at medical schools and still needs a lot more addressing.
I really like Megan Galbelli's presentation on the first 1,000 days, and I'm really quite interested to see what happens in the space of advanced training in perinatal, because it's a niche that has not quite found its place yet, so I'm interested to see what the future of that looks like.
Thank you so much for chatting to us. Ashna and Andrew here from the Thought Broadcast, and we're here with Jacinta and Hazel. Jacinta, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, so I'm a psychiatry registrar stage 2 in Dubbo and currently on maternity leave, and Hazel here is just about 7 months old.
She's absolutely beautiful. I know she's a budding podcaster. She's ready to get the mic. Can you tell us about the experience of bringing a bub to Congress and how it's been?
Yeah, so far it's been really good. She had a wonderful time yesterday with the service dogs in the exhibition centre. And I've been lucky enough that my partner's come along and has been looking after her during the day and during the sessions. But she's quite popular in between.
Absolutely. I think she's one of the star attractions. Have you found you've had access to sort of nappy changing facilities or feeding facilities?
Yeah, so there's a family room set up and then our all-inclusive bathrooms have been good as well for babies.
I did see the family room downstairs and it like live streams some of the talks, so it's fantastic. You can care for Bub in a lower stimulus environment without missing out on any of the talks. Do you think you'd do it again? Would Hazel get another trip to a Congress?
Yeah, we've seen a couple 1- and 2-year-olds around, so yeah, we'll have to come back next year.
So my name's Andrew Amos. I'm the Deputy Editor of Australasian Psychiatry, one of the college journals, and we're interviewing people to find out what sorts of things they're going to at the Congress, what their thoughts are about the program, that sort of thing. I'll get you first to introduce yourselves.
Yeah. My name is Vijay. I'm a general adult psychiatrist working in Fremantle, WA.
So a local. Very good to meet you, Vijay.
Hi, my name is Mithul Bhatt and I'm the Head of Service and Psychiatrist at Fremantle Hospital.
Fantastic. So a couple of locals. And have you been to the plenary sessions or any of the keynotes so far? Well, it's Tuesday morning and we've had a couple of days so far. So
I think we've gone to all the four.
So what stands out in your mind as the best parts of the Congress so far?
I quite enjoyed the talk by Mark Lawrence this morning and also Prof. Gallibelli. And yesterday's keynote from the Canadian speaker was also quite interesting. I can't remember the second one now.
I think it pretty much linked with the theme of the Congress, like New Horizon. And I think it looks like the Western and Indigenous link. I think it was connected quite nicely. I think both plenary sessions were pretty much focused on that like theme. So that was I was really, really impressed with that. I think as Dr. Lazar just mentioned, I think Canadian Indigenous culture, and I had even a chance to learn about Maori. So that was quite nice to hear, so no, really enjoyed.
One of the other people that we've talked to mentioned a more collective approach to health in other parts of the world, and having worked with some Indian doctors in Australia, they say that the family is often much more involved in India.
That's true. I agree.
It's true. I think in India, I think the cultural difference is quite, I mean, you are very well supported like by your family. Just to give an example, like number of residential like aged care that you would see, probably you may not see back home in India, because I think it's a kind of a culture that your family members are pretty much cared by family, which is changing. So there are like pros and cons on both sides. But when you ask about like what's the difference, I think it's quite a significant difference between both culture. But when you train here, you learn more about here. So that's nice. Yeah.
Thanks to our producers, David Beale and Nishita Kuma, Shady Dave for our intro music, Sidoni Prentice for our artwork, and of course, Australasian Psychiatry for the opportunity.